listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yeah, I want things to go my way, but as of late, a lot of shit been going sideways. And my mother tried to run away from home, but I left something in the car and I caught her in the driveway. And she cried to me, so I cried too. And my stomach was soaking wet, she only 5'2". And 48 hours before I showed up and bought $1,000 worth of drinks and got pulled up, damn, my reality just set in. And even when my phantom's leased, them hoes gonna get in. I do a lot of things hoping I never have to fit in. So try to keep up with my progress is like a dead end. My girl love me, but fucking my heart beats slow. And right now the tour bus is looking like a freak show. The life changed for us every single week, so it's good, but I know this ain't the peak though, cause I want the money and the fame. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast with y'all's Rod and
Karen.
That's right. And we are live on a Tuesday, starting the show with some misogynistic lyrics because we hate black women. And we are the same as Umar Johnson.
No, we are not.
It is exactly the same.
No, it is not, sir.
Well, that's not what I hear in the emails that I get sometimes. Anyway, guys, we are live on Tuesday. We appreciate y'all supporting the show and tuning in. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the Taser.
And the unofficial sport
is Bullet Ball.
And Bullet Ball Extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by just us. Okay, guys. We are ready to do some podcasting for you guys, and that's all that really counts. All kinds of stuff going on. Let's get into the news. I don't know what all to talk about. A lot of news going around. How about this? Internet sensation Salt Bae. Remember Salt Bae?
Mm-hmm.
Newsaret Gokch. I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but he was a dude that be getting all romantical on the meats.
Yes, it was a jewel. Somebody shared a clip of him like cutting meat. And them responding to him, that shit was hilarious.
Oh, the black dude that was in the kitchen?
Yes!
Yeah, then he threw the meat on his face.
Yes!
It was so good. It cracked me up.
Yes! I don't remember where it is. I wish we had to play for it.
It's on my Facebook page, but I wouldn't be able to find it.
No problem. So.
Anyway, the Turkish chef is opening up a Turkish steakhouse in New York City.
What?
Yeah, ain't that crazy? The power of the internet, really.
That shit gonna be bananas.
Yep.
Gonna be a bunch of women up in there.
He's landed a few serving jobs with celebs such as DJ Khaled and even Simone Biles. Yeah, I'll just be seeing him in the weirdest places.
It'd be like randomly in videos and shit. You'd be like, where the fuck he come from?
It's just like a commercial for a phone and then this nigga's just standing over there by DJ Khaled. I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. He was hot in the street. They were like, look, you around me, you make me better. You ain't got to say nothing. You just make me better.
Yeah, I had a Salt Bae shirt for a little bit. Like I was in on this. But what most don't know is he isn't only a master at tossing salt on a few steaks, he's also the owner of a successful chain of Turkish steakhouses. He launched his NUSR-ET restaurants years ago, and he has some in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and he just recently opened one in Miami. However, he has now decided to expand. On Monday, he had the grand opening of the newest restaurant to be added to the food chain in the United States. It's none other than Midtown Manhattan.
That he was in Miami. That explains why he in everybody's shit.
Yeah, I mean, he apparently an international sensation. It wasn't just
right, and he was way before them videos started floating around the internet. He's like, y'all, I've been doing this for a long ass time.
Yeah, good for him though.
I'm excited for him.
Black people, you know, love that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Hope he don't turn out to be racist. Ain't that just our luck? We start liking somebody and we find out they fucked up. That's how it always be with black shit.
Right?
Like, oh, Justin Timberlake. Oh, that boy can dance. Oh, he got cornrows. Then next thing you know, you say something racist. You like, oh.
Didn't we almost have it all?
I just think all lives matter. I'm like, oh, we can't have no white bays. Chick-fil-A owner in North Dakota apologizes for booting breastfeeding mom. The owner of a Chick-fil-A at a restaurant in North Dakota has apologized for telling the breastfeeding mother to leave. How does this keep happening?
Boobies, titties.
Like, if it's not illegal,
I don't understand. It is not.
I don't understand how this ever comes up.
Oversexualized titties. Titties are only meant for a man to suck and lick them, ladies. Other than that, fuck that baby. Let that baby cry.
Macy Hornung said she was kicked out of the restaurant in Fargo on Saturday because she was breastfeeding a baby without a cover, even though she said she was being discreet. North Dakota law enacted in 2009 allows women to breastfeed in public if they do it in a discreet and modest manner, though it doesn't define what that means. The restaurant owner never gave me a chance to explain that my daughter will flail, scream, and rip our cover off.
Right, like you talking about a small child, they don't give a fuck about where they at.
Right, it causes even more frustration than a very angry baby, so it isn't worth it to me. Hornick says she showed no more than has she been wearing a bathing suit. And Hornick told her story to local paper reporters and also posted a comment on social media that drew thousands of comments shared from people who support her. Many people also posted negative comments on the restaurant's Facebook page, though there are some that support the business. Who are those people? Took the time.
The same people that don't like the gays.
Thank you for getting them titties out of the public space.
We don't like titties and we don't like glitter.
I don't know why it has a southern voice in my head, but it
or
just
flags
does.
With the rainbow color.
This is Todd Jones from Florida.
You know what? That's
I just want to say I support North Dakota business.
I always assume all races have a southern accent, no matter where they are.
I didn't even say they was racist, but sure. We don't even know what color these titties were, Karen. This is about titties being put up, not racism, but.
But I don't know. They always blend and mesh together.
Mm-hmm. I do feel if you have a titty phobia, you probably do have some racial issues too, but you never know.
Yeah, they cousins, you know. That's the second, third generation cousin. You know, they ain't tight as bigotry and sexism and racism. I mean, as bigotry and sexism, but, you know, it's a fourth cousin down the line.
Restaurant owner Kimberly Flam issued a statement of apology Sunday. Damn, a woman on it? I would like to publicly apologize to Macy Hornung for the ways I handled the situation on Saturday. I ask for your forgiveness on this matter as I learned from it. My goal is to provide a warm, welcoming environment for all my guests. Well, that's just wild.
Mm-mm-mm. Right, and you wouldn't have apologized if people would have approved of your behavior.
Yeah, they got up out the paint. In President Oprah news, she won't be getting his vote for president. A man applies for the trademark to Nopra.
You can have that one, sir.
Well, a lot of you wokes that listen probably agree with this man from Arizona, of all places. Y'all don't want her to run either. I guess y'all gonna put some money in his pockets and get Nopra shirts against a black woman. I know y'all ain't see Proud Mary. You so woke though. Okay. See y'all in the theater for Black Panther, because I know y'all will be there since the white man did that.
I'm gonna be there, head wrapped and all.
An Arizona man has applied for the trademark to Nopra in an attempt to capitalize on rumors of her running for president, Oprah Winfrey. The man is looking to secure the use of the phrase on merchandise and is hoping for a Make America Great Again effect with an anti-Oprah campaign that's wearing his gear should she run in 2 years' time.
She may not run, nigga.
Everybody so... God, I hope I hope everybody gets all mad about nothing. I really hope she's like... I'm sorry, but president is a downgrade from Oprah.
Come on.
Right now, I hold the title of Oprah of the United States of the world.
Come
and
on.
And the federations and the galaxies.
And I actually got more power than the president.
In the universe, there's only one Oprah. There have been many presidents.
Come on.
I would never take the pay cut.
Because it would be a big pay cut.
But, yeah, this motherfucker trying to make a Oprah shirt. Whack ass nigga. That's where it starts, though. I should thank him, because this is what it's gonna take to get everybody on her side. Just a few more white people just capitalizing and being racist and shit, and then people have to be like, I don't want to vote for her, but y'all gonna stop calling her a nigga. Like, we gonna
come
have
on
to, we have to lose the nuance of the conversation about racism coming in. Oh man, we can't have nothing anyway. Nope. You remember that dude from the Google engineer who wrote that fucking manifesto about how Google's diversity is killing the company and shit?
Mm-hmm.
He is suing. He's suing Google because he said it was a class action lawsuit against Google. He argues that Google has an open hostility for conservative thought. As if conservative thought isn't a hope and hostility for everyone, not a white man.
And they have policies and procedures and rules in place to say you don't do this shit in a working environment. Everybody watch them stupid ass videos.
Also, is liberal or conservative thought a guaranteed right at a workplace?
No, it's not.
I mean, think about that. So should he be able to go in and be like, guys, gay people should not be able to get married, and the email I sent this from is jim@google.com, chief marketing officer or whatever. Should I be able to do that? I don't think you should be able to do that for anyone's company.
Right, because you represent that company. You did this bullshit on company's time. They have the right to fire you, particularly if, I don't know about what location this is, mm-hmm. but I know here in North Carolina, we are right to work state. If you walk in and they don't like you, they're gonna be like, you fired, and you could be like, well, what did I do? They're like, fuck it, we don't like you, you're fired, and there's nothing you can do about it. You are not guaranteed the right to work.
Right.
In the right to work state. Some states are a little different.
Google manager goes to extreme and illegal lengths to encourage hiring managers to take protected categories such as race and or gender into consideration as determining hiring factors, to the detriment of Caucasian and male employees and potential employees at Google. Oh, the white man is the real victim.
You mean the highest percentage of people they have there?
Like, right.
You know, I bet you if Google went through and swept and said, we have about 80% white men here, you know, what the fuck are you talking about? Is that reverse racism bullshit that don't goddamn exist?
Man, this dude really took it to the extreme, man. What a fucking
They're the real victims, and I think that irritates me. But, you know, when you be like, okay, well then, where's your oppression? No, I'm not trying to say nothing bad happened in your life. Where's your systematic oppression that this whole system puts against you? Are you being stopped and frisked? Are you being pulled over by the police? Are you not getting hired because you're a white male?
What a snowflake. We were sort of brainwashed to believe this is the natural course of things, he said in a news conference. By the way, there's no bigger white privilege than the fact that there's a news conference about him being like, guys, I'm a white man and my feelings were hurt. I wrote a manifesto I didn't need to write, criticizing the company I work for
on company's time,
and said that them promoting diversity and inclusion was bad, and I got fired, and guys, I need a press conference to talk about my feelings. Like, honestly, the woman who got kicked out for breastfeeding deserved a press conference more than this dude.
Right.
It's such a weird, like, in some ways we've advanced so far as a society that I'm so glad to be alive at this point, right? You know, like, and in some ways, like, things have changed so fast in my lifetime, even, that shit is totally different. Like, I was thinking about that Lucas kid, the one who got beat up at school, his mom went viral or whatever, because I was talking to a dude today and he said something about some kids that got kicked off a basketball team locally because they allegedly threatened this kid to bully him or whatever, and the kid called the cops. And so schools take that shit serious now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, y'all realize how much my life has changed. Like, it's changed in my lifetime. When I was in school, you would have just been the kid that got beat up by the basketball team.
And that'd have been the end.
Maybe you tell a parent. Maybe you tell the school. Maybe somebody gets kicked off the team for a couple of days.
Maybe.
Or they make you talk to somebody, or somebody doesn't get to ride the bus home. Something. But I was like, in my lifetime, that has changed. I say, you know, now if a kid gets beat up, you can actually call the news. Like, the actual news will come cover it, because bullying is so wrong now that they'll be like, this is newsworthy. A kid got bullied.
And it's always been wrong. The society just didn't take it seriously.
Yeah, but when kids got bullied at my age, it was just, I mean, when I was a kid, it was just, you got bullied.
Right.
Well, you know, like, oh, that nigga took my basketball. Like, that was the end of it. Like, I couldn't call Channel 9 when I got home. Like, this nigga took my basketball, you know?
They'd be like, get off our phone line, click.
When racist shit happened to kids at school, it used to just be some racist shit happening to your ass at school. And black people been dealing with it our whole lives. But now, and a lot of it's because of social media. I was like, social media, and I mean, obviously some people abuse it, but social media has changed things so much. A kid gets beat up, and the parent, not all parents, obviously, but it's conceivable a parent would pull out their phone, point it at their crying child, and put it on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, that's changed. That's not something, I could never see my parents doing some shit like that. You know, and that is ultimately a thing I think people shouldn't do. But fine, you know, whatever. It's not my kid, and maybe there are some positives to the idea of showing people the effects of the things that kids do to each other.
But still, I couldn't think of it myself. You know, if I'm hanging out with Layla and she started crying, I don't go, let me get my phone real quick. Hold on. Can you say that again? Now, what they do to you at school? You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. And because the way my mind ticks and a lot of it has to do with how we were raised, I'm like, let me check on your welfare and safety and be sure that you okay. My automatic thing and be like, ooh, this is a great time for me to record this private moment in my kid's life.
Right. This is going to go viral. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And then get mad when people criticize you. But the thing is, you put parenting on the internet, all of a sudden people will publicly have their opinions about your parenting skills.
And we say this as podcasters. We say this as people that put our lives out there for some, you know, evaluation. But it's weird though, because there's so much stuff it's just not of my generation, so it doesn't cross my mind. Like,
right.
I don't think, when I'm normally hanging out with people, I never think to take a picture. And I'm trying to be better about it, because I always do want to take the picture. I always forget, and then I have a great time. I go home, and I think about it that night, like, fuck, I hung out with this person all day. We didn't even get a picture together. We should have got a picture together.
I try to be more conscious of things like that. Like, you know, because like you say, we will and won't even think twice.
It's a generational thing. Right. You know, I had a good time. That was the thing. It's not everybody's not, everything's not for consumption. Mm-mm. You know, when I take, when people do Instagram stories or Facebook Live, that's something I just never really think about. It's not about avoiding it. It's not about how, like, our phones are, like, taking our humanity. It's no idealistic stance. Is literally just I don't think about the shit, but
right,
I think things have changed in a very short period of time, where now this shit is news, man.
Right. And I do think it's the difference thing. I know like the Instagram stories is that's new to me. I know that's been out forever, quote unquote, you know, internet time, but you know, the Instagram stories, Facebook stories, like all that stuff is fairly new technology to me. And so I'm learning how to use it. But yeah, I've never done, you know, I've been with somebody while they record a Facebook Live, but I've never actually been the one to
cry. I've done it a couple times. I did it when me and Justin were playing basketball. Like, if we're on the sideline, I might do like a quick Instagram Live or something. But you know, it's weird, as the numbers piled up in my Instagram Live, it started freaking me out. And I was like, all right, we got to get out of here. It's like,
what happened?
I'm like, whatever I'm doing can't be that interesting. I don't know. It was just so many people was watching. That it was freaking me out. Like, I just assume people do it, because I don't have a lot of followers on any platform except for Twitter, really. And Twitter didn't have a live feature. But when I did Instagram Live, it was like, you know, 10 people watching, 15 people watch, 20 people watch, 30 people watch. I'm like, what the fuck is the middle of the day? Y'all at work.
Because what happens, a lot of people, what I had to realize, what happens is that whenever you do Instagram and Facebook, they're at the top, and it's almost they promote it. So a lot of times people go live, people have things that tell them, hey, this person went live, hey, this, like, people are being notified that you're going live.
I know, I have okay. Instagram too. That's not, but it's not that, you know how many times I get a notification, I'll just be like, I'm not gonna click on that because I don't care.
Of course.
Right. I'm saying it weirded me out because people did care.
Yes, they did.
It's like, Rod is live, and I'm like, yeah,
we do.
Even still, it's like, it's definitely different. It's different. Correct. It's not, that has changed. You know what I mean? Right. Like, in my lifetime, just the concept to me of people even caring about that is kind of weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that's what has changed. So this dude at Google gets a whole fucking press conference when he was clearly wrong, clearly a racist. He's suing the company. He's so entitled. Some people use this shit for evil is what I'm saying. So, like, that kid who got bullied and you find out his parents are fucking racist, you know, and that she's just trying to start a GoFundMe and get money. Like, there's also that side to it that I'm just like, damn, this shit is such a feature of our society at this point. People can use it for good or bad, you know? But
agreed.
The impulse to do it is just so weird. Like, I'm gonna beat my kid, y'all. I'm gonna put it on Facebook. Why would you do that? You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't you
be like, oh, why is DSS showing up at my house? Because you whooped your child live.
Yeah, the internet is so real now. You know? So, I don't know. Walmart announces raises and bonuses and then closed a bunch of stores and laid a bunch of people off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They said they were going to give workers one-time bonuses of $1,000, and they give them $11 an hour beginning next month.
Yeah, and I heard that, I heard that bonus wasn't for everybody. I heard it was like for like certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had to be there a certain time.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they said they gotta close 63 Sam's Club stores across the country.
Three, and
they gave no advance notice.
Of course, they just showed up and the doors were shut. Everybody left for the night shift, came in the morning, and the doors were locked.
Here's what's most important, though. They credited the raises and the bonuses to this tax cut that the Republicans did. Then they immediately fired and laid people off, basically shifting the money around, not giving anyone really truly extra money,
right,
that they got from the tax cut, just saying, let's just move this money around. You know, corporations have no moral obligation.
No, they don't.
To the American citizen to employ us. That is the rub. That is why none of the tax plans that talk about giving cuts to companies because they're going to turn around and magically give that money back to the American populace, they're all bullshit.
Right.
Corporations are people. What I mean by this, we have literally ruled that corporations are people when it comes to giving money to lobbyists and campaigns. If they are people, what are people? People are fucking greedy. People don't do shit like, let me help this person out in general. That's why we have to have a government, to be quite honest.
Right.
Because if it was not up to, if we didn't have any government at all, shit, it would just be a fucking free for all, because nobody's taking care of other people. That no, people don't feel compelled to do that in general. It's like, oh, that person's dying, fuck, they got to do with me.
Right.
Like, insurance exists because people ain't shit. Everybody got to put into this. Why? Because when one of y'all gets sick, y'all niggas gonna need this money that we all put together to save your life. You know what, if you don't make me do it, I'm gonna just save my money. And you know what else, I got the money, I'm rich, I don't even want to put in at all. Okay, well, I'm broke and I need the money and I might get sick and I, yeah, well, fuck you. Yeah, fuck you. Straight to your face. I hope you die in the street. Wheel them out to the cold. I don't give a fuck. That's essentially the human existence right there. So we have to have a fucking government and shit like insurance companies and all this stuff. Just as, and I'm not even talking about the, I'm talking about the utility of these functions, not the actual,
execution of them.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Not the execution. I don't feel like debating that. I know it's not perfect.
Right.
But the point being,
they have to be,
we wouldn't even have to have these concepts if people actually gave a fuck about other people, but we don't.
Right.
So yeah, Walmart, the company, is like, hey guys, bonuses, extra we raising wages, right? Hey, you know, that's what y'all wanted, American people, right? And everybody's like, yeah, okay, that's a good start. By the way, we gotta fire everybody.
Right, they did that on the low too. Like you said, it was no announcement like it was about giving that money. All of a sudden the news broke and it was like, hey, we hearing that they closing down stores.
Right. You get a, $200 bonus. For people that have just got there, and $1,000 if you worked for 20 years or longer with Walmart.
Right. I knew it was something like everybody wouldn't get no $1,000.
Walmart said the wage increases will cost $300 million and the bonuses will cost them $400 million. And they said it's because, you know, but they didn't say how much they will save laying all these people off though.
And closing those stores.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, probably, my guess is 300 to 400 million or more. That's my guess.
Come on.
About 700 million is my guess. I don't know.
Come on, putting them people out of work. All of a sudden the news get a call because you got some mad employees standing outside of a Sam's Club talking about we can't get in.
I mean, I didn't major in math, but I mean.
Oh, my, yeah, they're not doing that unless they're saving a lot of money.
That's my guess, is that it offsets the money.
Of course.
And the CEOs will take the tax cuts and keep them for themselves.
Yes.
But
they still don't allow people to work 40 hours because they don't want to give you health care.
Let's see what else happened. Matter of fact, let's get into some of my segments and stuff too. I need to get a move on. Y'all know tonight we get the Flash, but more importantly we get that Black Lightning.
I'm excited about that. They've been like, this is the blackity black shit, y'all. They was like, Black Panther, we got some black stuff for you on CW.
I'm all the way off of the Ebonics hashtags. I don't want no problems. But man, this would have been a good, that lightning would have been so good today.
Mm.
But I'm leaving it alone. I'm off that crack. Okay, I'm off that narcotic.
Yep.
But that was,
I'm like, whatever the name of the show is, that's the hashtag.
I hope it's good, because that was, if black people calling it that lightning, would have been the illest shit ever. But I know everybody ran them hashtags to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. Some of them was kind of whack.
that Downton Abbey, you're like, oh, come on, guys.
They all didn't stick that landing quite.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, someone was just like, oh.
You was like, nah, baby. Try again.
Them lawyers, what is this even about?
All right, because some of the hashtags was like, I don't even know what the fuck the show is about. What show is this?
All right.
It didn't make sense.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe, we find different articles make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals 25. Today's contestants, everybody! Yay! Let's see who is fucking with us today. How about this? Two Nevada teens say a cop's son has been sending them racially charged text and threats. Two stepsisters have allegedly endured months of racially charged bullying from a classmate at a rural Nevada school. The ongoing torment, including abusive language, some of which appears uncensored below, escalated to death threats when the teens' parents pressed school officials to act. So they went and reported to the school, and then the dude starts sending them actual death threats. The death threats, Reno attorney Terry Kaiser Cooper told HuffPost, come in the form of Snapchat messages that were shared with the 14-year-olds Jayla Tolliver and Talissa Marriott. That's right, two girls. Mm-hmm. The messages show a bare-chested white male posing with knives and a shotgun. Lyon County Sheriff Alvin McNeil acknowledged to the Reno Gazette Journal that the boy pictured in the Snapchat messages is the son of one of his deputies. He reportedly called the message a foolish mistake that did not amount to a credible threat. I will remind you, in the message, is him with no shirt on, with knives and a shotgun, saying, "Redneck God of all gods, we about to go nigger hunting." Not a credible threat. Another one says, "Porch monkeys, here I come." Jayla's father, Charles Tolliver, and stepmother, Nancy Marriott Tolliver, told the HuffPo, the messages are part of an ongoing campaign of hate and discrimination that has included racial slurs, harassment, and ridicule since just before the start of school year. They said the relentless torment has made the girls afraid of certain students at their high school, a predominantly white school in the town of Yerington, located 90 minutes from Reno. An action from school officials prompted Marriott Tolliver and her husband to seek out Kaiser Cooper, who filed suit against the school district and the city in the U.S. District Court of Reno. This has broken them, Marriott Tolliver told Huffington Post. They've sobbed and sobbed. They can't understand why this happened, and they said, "We're 14 years old. Why do people hate us for the color of our skin?" Another classmate using Snapchat allegedly wrote, "If y'all get offended over words such as nigger, porch, and porch monkey, then you just need to learn how to grow the fuck up and quit being the liberal-tarded piece of shit. That's all I gotta say to you niggers." This generation is the generation that's gonna save us, guys. You know how the old people just gotta wait for them to die. But yeah, well, guess who's in charge of punishing the young people that act this way? The old people that don't have a problem with this shit. Someone also allegedly hacked Tolliver's Snapchat account and sent out a humiliating message to all her contacts, which read, "I like to fuck boys on quads, and I'm the biggest and most hated slut in Yerington." Charles Tolliver said he and his wife have complained to school officials, the Department of Education, and local police, all of whom claim he claims have declined to act. "I know kids can be mean, and it happens, but we tried to go in and talk to the principal, vice principal, and everyone else, and they've done nothing. I've been a civil rights attorney for more than 30 years. This is the worst case I've ever seen," said Kaiser Cooper. "It's awful and very disturbing."
And that may also be why his children are getting attacked.
No. That's that lawyer.
Okay, that's their lawyer. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I thought the man was. I was like, well, people do shit like that. They find out who you are and start attacking your children.
Now, Tolliver is the parent, and okay, Kaiser Cooper is their lawyer. The lawsuit cites multiple incidents of alleged racial bullying, not only against teenagers, but also against their parents. Marriott Tolliver said that she has ample evidence to support the claims, including a video that shows one of her daughter's tormentors confronting her and their kids outside the school. The girl, a classmate, can allegedly be heard on the video screaming profanities at Marriott Tolliver's children.
The cruel remarks, according to the lawsuit, were made within earshot of the female antagonist's stepfather, Trinity Erickson, who is Yerington High School employee and football coach. When Marriott Tolliver asked Erickson why he permitted his daughter to talk like that, he responded by calling her a fucking bitch. Another man at the scene, Jeff Miller, who helps to coach football and is employed at a Lyon County Sheriff's deputy, told Marriott Tolliver, "Get the fuck out of here. He's a deputy." So you got people in positions of authority that are these kids' parents and know these other people, and they not doing shit.
But nobody's racist, though.
Like some shit out of a fucking movie, man.
Right, and then you wonder why people are scared, and then you wonder why a lot of parents, particularly brown parents, take their children in high school and be like, fuck it, I'll teach them at home because it's not worth them going to school fucking dealing with this people that don't give a fuck about my kids.
I don't even know what you do in a situation like this, because everybody goes, oh, you just up and move or some shit, but it's not that easy. People don't have the money to do that. Your kid's in the middle of the school year. It's, you know, this is a dangerous situation because
so my child gotta die and nobody's gonna give a fuck.
Yeah, it's a dangerous situation because no one seems to be focused on curbing this, and this is how things escalate. Mm-hmm. And people in power, their children are the ones doing it,
so nobody's gonna take responsibility, nobody's gonna investigate.
The mom got barred from the school property after the father Erickson, the coach, told the assistant principal that it was Marriott Tolliver and not his stepdaughter who had been confrontational. So just skipped over the racial slurs and shit and said, she was yelling at my daughter, she can't be on school property. Next morning, Charles Tolliver said he went to see Principal Dwayne Matisse to determine what was being done to stop students from harassing his daughter and stepdaughter. Matisse belittled the seriousness of the issues Tolliver was raising and refused to discuss race-based bullying of his girls. Tolliver was so angered by Matisse's refusal to address the racism running rampant in schools, Tolliver called Mattis a bigot and excused himself in a meeting and left the school. Marriott Tolliver said that she was later given an opportunity to show her video evidence to the school officials, who then lifted the trespass order. So they had, luckily for them, they had video. So, you know, like I said earlier, the good and the bad. Like, if your first impulse is to record some shit, it might turn out be your saving grace. Cause how you gonna kick your kids up from school? You can't be on the property and you didn't do nothing wrong. Thank God she recorded that shit. I would have never thought to record it. However, she said it was not long before her husband found himself in the same situation. In early October, Tolliver, his wife, and their daughter again went to the school to speak with administrators after emerging from their vehicle. Several students allegedly blocked the sidewalk, and one of them told Tolliver, "You don't even know the definition of a nigger." Where are your parents? Like, you would think that parents would just be embarrassed even if they were fucking racist. Like, listen, son, we keep this racism in the house.
Why would you, when your president is the biggest bigot and racist in the country, and he has emboldened people where they don't feel shamed anymore? People underestimate the power of him being in office and saying shithole countries, mm-hmm. and him being in office and saying Mexicans are rapists, and him being in office just being fucking ignorant. People underestimate the power that he puts and he gives in other people. He's ignited a fire across this country of people who have not said shit, who has felt like this forever, but because society shamed them, they didn't feel like they could come out. But now, since their president is in office, the president that they voted on, the president that they go to work with black people, brown people all the time, and they'll talk to them, and you know, they get along with you, but secretly, you know what I'm saying, that was their boy, you know, because numbers and statistics show that a lot of motherfucking white people voted for him. If you ask them publicly, everybody denied they voted for him. Well, how the fuck he get in office then? People like what this man is doing, and it emboldened them.
So then because they called her father, "You don't know the definition of a nigger," that was directed to her father. His daughter Jayla charged the kids, but he told her to stop, and after she backed off, the same kid that had called said "nigger means ignorant, your daughter is ignorant. If you call my daughter a nigger again, there'll be consequences," he told the teen. Now keep in mind, this is one of the functions of racism. Matter of fact, if you can take it, there's a great episode of Three Guys On out this week where they talk to this dude that is like, kind of like he's a police reform activist, but he's also a white dude that is completely clueless when it comes to race. And they had him back on their show to, cause he wanted to speak his piece. He thought he was taking out of context.
And he proved obviously that he was to me extremely racist. I don't know in another way to put it, like a liberal racist where they just think black people don't know shit, I know better than you, I'm white, I've talked to black people, you know, that kind of shit, right? But one of the best moments of that show, when Randolph was allowed to speak and the guy wasn't trying to cut him off, one of the best moments of that show, was when he asked Randolph to define blackness, and Randolph just like really, it was like a nebulous, but also a, if you're black, you understood. Like it was like that, yes, I understand that. And, it was interesting because Andy Klein, partner on the show, Randolph, really pointed out the bigger picture, which is that white supremacy wants blackness to be hard to define so that people spend more time fighting about that,
right,
than they do fighting against racism. Like, well, we can just square down this answer to something that white people will accept, and you're like, but white people will never accept any answer that makes them feel bad,
right?
So we're already, as a black person, we live this experience, and this white person doesn't. We're already past this step. So what I'm saying is, even in this context, even in this discussion that this, not discussion, but this thing that this having his father and his children and stuff at this meeting, it, nigger means ignorant. It doesn't mean, if you look up, if you look up the dictionary definition of nigger, one version of it will say ignorant. But they're not calling his daughter ignorant. They're not calling other white people ignorant and calling them niggers. They're calling her a nigger because she's black. His daughter's not an ignorant person. No more so than any of those other kids at the school. Like, that is the beauty, quote unquote, the complexity of white supremacy, is that they're not going to give you a clear cut, this is only this. And there's always an out. There's always an explanation. That's why every time we read an article about someone being racist, they're like, I don't have a racist bone in my body. I'm the furthest thing from a racist. I don't even know why you would call me a racist. What? How could you even come to that conclusion? And it's like, didn't you just say my daughter's a nigger? Sir, nigger is an ignorant person. Okay? I don't know where you got this from, that I'm calling, that I'm being racist towards your daughter by calling her a nigger. I'm saying she's ignorant. That's all. And their kids even say these things. Instead of addressing the students, Matisse, the principal, trespassed Charles Tolliver, according to the lawsuit. That same day, school administrator suspended Jayla. They suspended her, not the other kids, because of her throwing her backpack down and charging at the girls. Jayla's not a fighter. Those teens attacked her father. She just snapped. You poke a bear for too long, it's going to happen. With school officials refusing to act and the alleged bullying escalating, Charles Tolliver said the family went to the police department where they spoke with an officer and gave him written statements. They said they also provided him with screenshots of the Snapchat messages and other evidence. After giving them statements, their statements, the family was told the racial slurs and Snapchat messages were free speech and protected by the First Amendment. Got to go nigger, honey, holding a shotgun and knives, y'all. It's just free speech. Free speech. The next day, a deputy with the Lyon County Sheriff's Office allegedly served Charles Tolliver with a temporary restraining order based on a complaint made by Trinity Erickson's wife on behalf of her two daughters. The order, the law states, claimed Charles Tolliver's statement to one of the girls, "You call my daughter a nigger again, there will be consequences," was a threat. That's a threat. That was considered a threat. Shotgun knives, I'm about to go nigger hunting, Snapchat directly to your daughters, not a threat. You saying if you call my daughter again, it's gonna be consequences. Nigga, that's a threat. Get served with a warrant. Oh my God. Charles Tolliver said that he later went to the police department to obtain copies of the reports his family had filed, and he told that the police chief had ordered them shredded. This is like some fucking movie shit, bro. Yarrington police did not respond to a request for comment from HuffPo, but police chief Darren Wagner had reportedly acknowledged documents were shredded and that doing so was a violation of state law. He told the Reno Gazette Journal the mistake was made by a newly hired officer. Sure it was. Wagner also reportedly said his department did not open an investigation to the family's complaints. I wouldn't have investigated if a black child posted a picture saying he was going cracker, honey. I'm sick of everyone saying we did something wrong. We can't police bad behavior.
Yes, you would have.
That's literally what the fuck you do, police. The police are like, listen, we can't be policing people. Not with his racism. What is wrong with y'all? Ugh. Our day would never be over if I had to actually police. Y'all gonna want us to do next? Y'all gonna want us to protect and serve? Are you crazy?
I mean, you want us to really pay this logo attention that's plastered across the side of my goddamn vehicle.
Meanwhile, they actually did serve a warrant to this man for, oh my God, this is so, Woo, good grief, boy. If I wasn't laughing, I'd be crying, I tell you. It's just free speech. It's just free speech, y'all. I don't know why everybody's so hung up about a couple of, just a kid taking pictures of himself with a shotgun, sending it to your daughter, talking about nigger hunting. I don't know why. How do we even get here that you guys would take this so offensively, you know? I think we all can agree that nothing. It's just kids being kids. Charles Tolliver told Huffington Post he believes authorities did not act because the kid is the Snapchat photo of the son of a sheriff's deputy. That was a direct threat. If I'd done that, I guarantee I'd be in jail. Yep. Contacted by HuffPo on Friday, the Lyon County School District declined to comment on allegations made in the lawsuit. They said that, of course, the student and staff safety is our number one priority and all reported matters are thoroughly investigated. Kaiser Cooper said that since the lawsuit has been filed, the girls have received additional racist texts. The young teenagers who want to live normal lives and they're devastated. This is not a problem where we are seeking damages for a bad thing that has happened. We're seeking to stop the conduct. It's ongoing and is now considering filing for a restraining order. Kaiser Cooper is not charging the family legal fees. Well, that's good. Cause that would have been like, that actually would have been pretty much more fucked up. also guys, about this bill, like, what, hold up, what?
Right, because he has resources that they don't.
Yeah, but think if they were, I mean, lawyers gotta pay bills too,
correct.
Just think if they would have had to be like, yeah man, we gotta charge you. He said the cost and the expenses are about $10,000, which is money the family doesn't have. So luckily this lawyer took the case on for free.
Correct. And as much as people shit on big black organizations and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton from coming in and taking up legal fees, this shit is expensive. The average person does not have the money nor the resources.
Come down a notch and look like a petty little brat by tweeting and Facebooking this just to open up dialogue so we can have an adult conversation. Ridiculous. In America, you should be ashamed.
I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. I tried to play that a while ago, I just started playing.
It was like I feel like talking right now. You okay over there?
Yeah, okay. I'm running out of water, so go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, and it's one of the things where, you know, you sit back and, you know, as much as black folks criticize these organizations talking about dang shit and da 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 da, you're not giving money to your families, you're not giving your resources to the family. It got to come from somewhere.
Oh no, that's definitely why we need stuff like the Action Network or whatever for Sharpton. Definitely why we need NAACP's. Definitely why you need
black organizations, yeah, and activists out here raising money and funds.
Listen, all hands on deck, because honestly it's more shit than one organization can handle.
Right.
You know, I've been reading that Beyond Respectability, and a lot of what it's doing is talking about black women who are race women who talked about race and stuff, and how they got their like work erased or glossed over, or how they had to kind of disguise their work, you know, autobiographical type of stuff, as opposed to like books that really like critically examine race theory and stuff. Like it's a really good, fascinating read. But one of the things I thought about is at its inception how radical the idea of the NAACP was. I mean, like, we take it for granted now to the point where we call it antiquated, powerless, feckless, impotent, all this different stuff, you know. But the concept of a many-faceted organization that collectively organized black people throughout different cities in the nation that hated us, and still does, before the internet, you know, that organized people in a fashion to protest locally and still had a chain of command that allowed them to have a national spokespeople and national offices and stuff. It's really amazing how we've come so far as to be like, that ain't shit, without kind of having a reverence for the idea. We've lost all reverence of how amazing that was. And look no further than watching like Black Lives Matter try to form an organization like that, and that's with the tools of the internet, phones, planes, all this shit that exists now that you didn't necessarily have back then. Even with the advent of all that stuff, in a world that doesn't put you in the back of the bus or tell you can't sit at the lunch counter or whatever, in a world like that, and they still couldn't put out all these fires if they wanted to. They can't even stop the infighting they have from being public. They can't even stop, like, they had to come out and be like, these people are our leaders, because people start speaking up on behalf of them that had nothing to do with them. The news started giving credit to stuff that had nothing to do with them and taking credit away from stuff that they did do. Like, it was that fucking messy. The NAACP had to navigate all this at a time when willful and corrosive racism was overt. Not this subversive shit that we deal with sometimes, but it was just out and out, like, if you fucking sit at this counter, I will crack your motherfucking head open. And you had to organize people on the ground and be like, we're all boycotting Woolworths. Like, black people, no, we're not going in there. And as much as like Black Lives Matter does marches and stuff, they ain't got the power to do that yet, where they can literally organize the entire black community. Now, part of that's because our situations have changed and black people aren't as monolithic as we had to be to survive racism at the time, right? Correct. You know, we all couldn't eat at that counter. It wasn't like, some niggas could eat at the counter. Now,
every one of us could go in there.
Yeah, now it's a little bit more insidious. You know, it's like, you know, Jay-Z can eat at the counter, but your black ass can't. You know, so it's a little bit different. You can't really get all black people together, you know? But the point being, like, that was a Herculean feat of the time. Like, that, and I feel like we don't have enough respect for it because we have such contempt. And I think our contempt, if we examine it, part of that is anti-blackness. Part of that is us not wanting to respect the organization because it's a black organization, therefore it's like ghetto and lesser than and not as good, and you know, and scandals that happen for black organizations last forever. Like, ain't no, you can never come back from those. So it's like, oh, this nigga at the top was a fucking womanizer? Yeah, well, guess what, guys? Fuck the NAACP forever, you know what I mean? So it's harder for them to bounce back, but it's just an interesting idea, because when I think about this story right here, it sounds like something that would happen in 1950. Like, this doesn't sound like something that happens in 2018, but it did, obviously. And if it wasn't for the kindness of this lawyer and the media wanting to come out, and the HuffPo, even, not even really the real media, coming out to cover this, we would have never heard of it. And this is where, like you said, those Jesse Jacksons, those Al Sharptons, you know, those Sean Kings, those DeRays, those people that have some connection and contacts within the media that come out and grab attention to certain movements and stuff that people have decided that they want to listen to them and follow them. This is where they come in handy, because a story like this could use somebody that could put shine a light on this, you know. And this is not something that I feel like we've taken it for granted at this point, and we're actually kind of all tired of that old playbook. But when you're one of these families in need and you don't have the money to pay for legal fees and shit like that, what do?
Right. And it's one of those things where people will not care about the NAACP and a lot of these big black organizations and even a lot of black activists until they're dead and gone. Then everybody gonna sit back and cry and go, woe is me, and what happened? Some of these same people that constantly criticize them for not being perfect, constantly criticize them for not saying the right thing, not being in the right step, not being woke enough, people that constantly criticize these particular things, all this and above,
you criticize me. You don't support, you don't give financially, you don't dedicate your time if you don't have money, you don't dedicate your resources, you don't do any of this. Then once it's dead and gone and something happens and you're the one that needs this, all of a sudden it's going to be a problem. And the thing for me is that you're going to forever need these organizations, because racism is never going to die. I don't think people understand that. It reshapes, it reforms itself, it shifts, it changes, it morphs into something new, but it will never die. It might not hang you by a tree, nigger, but it's still there. It's certain looks, it's certain phrases, it's certain things. It change, you change certain phrases. It might not be niggas, all of a sudden it's Monday, some shit that I don't know nothing about. They call us names and have made up words that we don't even know exist yet. The language that they use that we're oblivious to. So don't ever think that it's a time that black people or brown people, period, can ever stop fighting. And the thing is, because like you say, it's a generational thing. You have this generational now where it's not unified. Back then, couldn't no nigga go in there. No nigga could go in there. Mm-hmm. So that's different than nowadays when you have a hierarchy where that niggas be like, that ain't me. I'm not worried about it. It's them niggas over there. It's them niggas down south, or however else you want to mix it or blame it or anything like that. That is rooted in anti-blackness.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, like I said, I can't remember the episode, but I remember I talked about, I had a dream about Jesse Jackson, and I really haven't said anything bad about that man since I had that dream. You know what I mean? Like, cause it was just, it put shit in perspective for me when I woke up thinking about, like, wait a minute, what the fuck am I talking about? You know, like, it's easy to mock motherfuckers, but you wouldn't walk a mile in their shoes. You wouldn't last a minute. And people might change. People might at some point decide to take care of themselves, whatever. But we killed them for that too. If you go, you know what, I'm getting out of this game, dog. I've had my time in the spotlight. I'm shutting the fuck up. Y'all got it. I'm gonna go be rich or do whatever. And we shit on them for that too. You know, it's like, you can't win when you're trying to help niggas. You can't win. That's the whole rig. And I know people get frustrated with me because I won't follow them down this rabbit hole. And I'm 40 years old now, and I feel pretty resolute in this, but maybe I'll change my mind. But real talk, I don't like bad mouthing people that's trying to help black people.
Right.
I don't. You know what I mean? Like, when you hear me saying, like, I hate to see people come at Ta-Nehisi Coates on some, like, petty shit, on some jealous shit, or on some what about my opinion shit, I'm like, I don't have a problem with you needing to get your opinion out there. I agree, you do. I just don't realize, I don't see how it's his fault that the room filled up for him and it didn't fill up for you. You know, like, he could die tomorrow, the room not filling up for you, so what are we gonna do to fill the room up for you? I'm with that plan, but the plan, we gotta take another black person out so you feel comfortable, fuck that shit. You know, the shit where this activist is, oh, he need to stop. And do what? Die for you? Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. This activist has dedicated their life, and these are the lessons they've learned, and this is the knowledge they're passing on. And if the next person wants to step up, there's room for you too. Unless they're trying to actively stop you, then you know, if you can't find a way around them or something like that, then I feel you. Like, fuck that. They trying to shut you down. But if it's, I'm giving a speech, and you giving a speech, everybody can give a fucking speech for all I care. You know, like, at some point, we have to stop making it so thankless. You
right.
know? Like, I do this with black creatives. You know, and of pro-blackness and militancy and all that shit. If anything is radical about me, that's probably the most radical thing. When I see people create black art, I'm like, leave it the fuck alone. Like, appreciate it, don't appreciate it, move on, make your own, do whatever you need to do, but we gotta stop shutting people down because they're black. Cause we don't do it to other shit. We just don't.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
We don't. And you know, Insecure don't need to represent every fucking facet of black relationships, or you're gonna shit on Issa Rae. We don't have to do that to each other. You know, fucking, even now, Spike Lee's new shit, which I don't plan on watching. I understand some people like it, other people want me to watch it for reviews and all this. I just don't plan on watching it. I don't want to get involved in now how am I going to use this to tear down what these black people created. I understand you have black women on this writing team now and all this shit. I don't want to shit on those sisters. I don't want to shit on Spike Lee. It ain't really for me anyway. Let me skip this thing. You know, as opposed to being like, I need to have an opinion so I can tell this nigga, da 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 da. Like, it just feels kind of hope, it feels kind of thankless is what I'm saying. It feels like, and people don't really ask for this. Like, Issa Rae didn't ask to become the spokesman for all black TV writers, a spokeswoman for all black TV writers. But then whiteness puts you in this situation where you're the only motherfucker that gets through the door, so you gotta speak for everybody. And then we put the pressure on you from outside, like, speak for me, even though you haven't lived my experience. And then when you fuck up speaking about that, we go, cancel this bitch. Like, it's something, it's a fucked up scenario that we're trapped in and repeating over and over and over. But that was my thoughts when I was thinking about the NAACP today, because I was like, I don't know if it's chicken or egg. I don't know if the NAACP became just whack to people and people was ready to move on. And they were like, hey, nigga, we don't need no more boycotts and buses and all. Y'all niggas just want to get rich. And they were, and people, so people moved on. Or if it was that people got whack and said, we're not supporting NAACP anymore.
Right.
You know, things have a time. You know, things have a season.
Right.
So I'm not saying we have to, like, keep them around. I'm just saying it made me think about how radical that idea was. In 1920, that shit was inconceivable. You know what I'm saying? Like, people were not thinking that way. And now by 2000, you know, by 95, by 90, you know, when I was a kid, people was like, fuck the NAACP. And I was like, why? Like, in my mind, I was like, yeah, I guess fuck them, right? Because I don't know shit about them. Like, no one taught me that history lesson. No one taught me how hard it was to think. No one taught me, like, what life was like at the time that they conceived that idea. No one taught me that. I didn't learn that in school.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, it was just kind of a given. Like, this thing has existed your whole life, so why would you not think it? You know, I thought of them the same way I think of the school building being there. Like, it's just a thing. Like, why would I give a fuck the school building's there? But I didn't think about, like, the struggle that had to happen for that to be, and the things they had to go through, the people that had to die,
right,
things of this nature. But so when I see stories like this, I'm like, you know, this shit is still happening, even despite all these organizations and all this stuff. We still gotta run to the media and hope we get a report on the news, hope we can shame these white people into doing right. And this story is on some, like, time to kill shit. So I'm sorry, you gonna say something?
Oh, and I think for me, when it comes to black activists and, like, NAACP and, like, all these organizations, a lot, like you say, it's a thankless job. And a lot of people who have dedicated time and blood and sweat equity and all this stuff, for me, is very frustrating, no matter what level they're on or how famous they are, to see people just give them a hard time and sometimes drag them, rightfully and sometimes unrightfully so, just drag them across social media like everything that they've done just don't mean shit. The people they've touched, the money they've raised, the foundations they've started, like, none of that means shit, because you don't mean shit to me at this time. Yeah. And for me, it's very sometimes it can be disheartening. And I do believe that even back then there was fighting inside of organizations. People fell out. It just wasn't as public, you know. Like, these things have always existed. But I think for somebody like me, who's on the outside looking in, I'm like, are you fighting for blackness? You're not anti-black, right? Okay. You know, like that's how I function. I don't care what method you use. I don't care as long as you're not doing anything illegal and stuff like that, not out here just purposely hurting black people, I'm like, okay, go for what you know.
Yeah, it scares me to, I guess, in the most cynical part of me, I feel like, damn, I hope you didn't do that for nothing. Right. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't mean that as, like, a pejorative or saying, like, I'm not talking bad about their work. I'm just like, I hope you didn't get, like, arrested for nothing. I hope you didn't get harassed, stalked, threatened for nothing. Because nobody cares about you, and ultimately they'll throw you away the second that you do or say something they don't like, the second you disappear for a second, the second you go to take a breath and take care of yourself, they will discard you like fucking trash, man. They don't care. You know, and we've done it to other people. So it's like our generation did it to our elders.
Yes, we did.
In a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it became like a running joke of, like, Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or something. Then when Trayvon Martin gets killed, if it's not for Al Sharpton, we don't hear about that.
Right.
Everyone skips over that major part of the story. That shit had been going on for a month. That family got no traction with the police or the media. And Al Sharpton brought it up. And all people, oh, he's just divisive and a race baiter. Well, if he hadn't took his divisive race baiting ass down there, we would have never known about George Zimmerman. We'd never known about Trayvon Martin. Even Twitter couldn't get that going. You know what I mean? But it's that, it's those moments like that where I'm like, damn, we really are quick to throw a motherfucker away.
Right.
On, you know what I'm saying? Like, while they're still even useful, we'll throw them away. And while they're still doing things, still learning, still, we'll still throw them away. And forget about Al Sharpton for a second. We do that to this new crop of activists.
Yes, you notice how many
of these, you notice how many of these people are not in the streets no more?
Come on.
Like, you think they didn't learn lessons from the way people talk about them? You know, from the fact that we have a huge contingent of the black community that would consider themselves pro-black but anti-LGBTQ, and many of these leaders were LGBTQ. The fact that people will call themselves pro-black, they don't help anybody, they got YouTube channels, they're making tons of money from the community, but then they're anti-black women. Who's leading these marches? You know, we'll throw these women away the second they say, like, and by the way, y'all need to treat us better. Man, oh, so I'm the white man of the black people? Okay then, bitch. Cancel. Like, it's like we do that shit so easily to each other because we're in so much pain from all the stimuli and all the shit that we experience all the time,
right?
But like, this intra-community like disrespect and discarding of people, it's infectious and it's malignant. It's like a cancer. It's malignant. It keeps growing and it won't go away, and we continue to like kind of foster it. So I'm trying to break that cycle of like I said, if you listen to this show, you don't hear us be like, did y'all see what so-and-so said? Fuck that dude. I always knew he wasn't shit. I always knew she wasn't shit. Or that, I try to stay away from some of that shit because it's like, unless they're overtly saying something where I'm like, yo, this was fucked up. This is why it's fucked up. Blah, blah. I don't, like, I'm not then gonna be like, and that's why, cancel them. I hope they never do. Cause sometimes people need that. You know? Wow. There's so many stories people wouldn't have known about if not for a Sean King. There's stories like that. It's not fair. It's unfortunate, right, that people don't like him and he still has signal boosted shit that apparently helped. You know, if you talk to these families, like, yeah, I was helped by this dude. You know, like I stay out of that shit, out of the beef part of it. You know, there's people that don't like DeRay. You know, he's a popular voice now, go to different political games than some other activists. So he got to go now. Like, nah, that's crazy. Like, we're talking crazy. We're throwing people away that seem to have the best intentions of our people at the forefront of what they do, have sacrificed for that shit, lived in a car for that shit. We throw them away. I read a story about an activist in we're so off tangent, but I read a story about an activist in Chicago, I believe it was, and it was a long story. It was a personal story about him, and he turned out like it's, I should try to look it up, but it turned out that he was like from like the kind of church religion background of activism, right, which a lot of activism happens with, mm-hmm, for black people, he was also of the kind of like reconciliation, bring both sides together, let's have a talk, which is, you know, in the last probably 5 years that has become a less popular form of activism.
Correct.
You know, I would say when Obama was elected, that was probably the most popular form of activism at the time, was, hey man, we're organizing the community to bring our concerns to someone with the power to change these things, and we're gonna get the change we want. And then at some point, you know, I think it was in Chicago, you know, this shit becomes so, there's so much animosity and distrust that it's like, well, we can't trust these fucking politicians either. I don't blame people. But then they also started managing the people that want to work with the, you know, that see it a different way. They're like, no, I would like to work with Rahm Emanuel to fix this. And then there's people that are like, well, then you're a coon, fuck you as well, right? And from what I gathered from, you know, the article, you know, I'm sure he made mistakes and shit too. I'm not trying to belittle that, but ultimately the mistakes he made are like turnovers in basketball, where I'm making a mistake because I'm trying hard as I can to make a play and I'm trying to make something happen, and because it wasn't the way y'all would have made it happen, I'm a coon, I'm this, I'm that. And with new activists, it was more inclusive. People are more openly LGBTQ. People, you know, it's a movement led by that. So people was kind of rejecting the whole, like, him showing up in a suit type thing anyway, right? And one of the things that struck me was, like, halfway through the article, you know, in this profile, he talks about how he's bisexual. And he's always been scared to confront that in the, to talk about that and to be his most natural self. And that was one of the things that appealed to him about how these other people were living their lives that were activists, like, you know, like maybe I can drop my guard too, you know, because I've been living with this pain all my life, looking at these people be free, fighting for these people, fighting for myself, and at the same time rejected by that group of people who think that I'm just some type of fucking coon or whatnot. And now, and what struck me was how the people in the LGBTQ community that were activists, one, they didn't know he was bi, right? They didn't know any of this. He hadn't even talked about it, but they couldn't see him, you know what I mean? Like, they just couldn't see him as a person. It was frustrating. So but I think about that all the time, like,
right,
are we not seeing each other as fully formed human beings because we so fucking caught up in the black and white of every situation that it's not, it's like, fuck nuance. Nuance gonna slow me down. I just have to be right, and that's the end of it. You have to be wrong because I have to be right. It can't be you had a way of thinking about it, I had a way of thinking about it, and we both ultimately had the same goal of black liberation or changing this law or changing the way our lives are affected by this bullshit. It was one of us has to be right, the other one has to fucking go,
right?
And that seems so fruitless,
and there's no other way around it. And something you talked about a few seconds ago that I also wanted to talk about, people just period don't see other people as people. They see themselves as a full-fledged human being. They see themselves as somebody that gets hurt. They see themselves as somebody that has emotions. They see themselves as somebody that's disappointed and the actions of other people and all that stuff. They see themselves like that. But the same compassion that you give yourself, even in activism, a lot of people do not extend that out to other people. And when you don't extend that out to other people, it becomes a problem, in my opinion, because they're a person too. You might not agree with them. Y'all might not always see eye to eye. You might not think that, their methods are right. You might have major issues with them, but they're still a person. And, people have a tendency to be very dismissive of people that are not them, period. Mm-hmm. You know, and even in the activism space, you're not me, oh, so fuck you. You know, you're not with my group or my clique, you don't have my name tag, you don't roll with us, so fuck you, because I've seen it across social media. It's almost like that group thinking, right? You know, and it's one of those things where, yes, you can be part of a group and organization, but at the same time, you can mesh and extend across the aisle and have different methods, and we can accomplish the same goal even though we don't see eye to eye. We ain't always got to be best friends, you know, we ain't always got to be pals, you know. Or for some people, you can be like, you know what, I don't fuck with you, you don't fuck with me, cool, but what I'm not gonna do is slander your work or say how your work ain't shit, you know, because I have these personal issues with you. Mm-hmm. And I know, like I said, that's, it's happened in the past, you know, it's always happened, but because of social media, it's kind of different.
Well, I think it's philosophical differences, but people act like they're diametrically opposed when many of them are synergetic,
right?
And I think that's one of the biggest things. Like, there are certain things when you disrespect somebody's humanity where I'm like, obviously that's diametrically opposed. You can't fucking be like, I don't see you as a human being, but I'm on your side. No, fuck you, that's not true. You can't be on my side if you don't see me as an equal,
right?
But there's some shit where it's just like, well, I think we should go speak to the president. Well, I don't want to go speak to him. Both of y'all should be able to do that without coming at each other. Both of y'all should be able to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't then turn into like, fuck you. Well, fuck you then. That's the kind of thing I see all the time where I'm like, oh, that's crazy. You know, I still remember, we had an issue in the Facebook group where, people were coming at, Safety Pin Box for a second. You remember? Like, I was like, the fuck, y'all are in our group, y'all listen to our podcast, these are our friends, in addition to just being like good activists and shit.
Come on,
what's positive about this interaction? What made you think we would want this happening in our name? What made you think that we would want this happening in our group? You know what I mean? Like, well, why wouldn't you be able to say, oh, we disagreed about this name, but that's cool, you know, good luck with that work done, you know, we just had a disagreement. As opposed to, now I'm gonna talk about your mama. Now I'm gonna talk, you know what I mean? Like, now I'm gonna talk about your husband. Now I'm gonna talk. Then it's like, well, where the fuck did that ugly part come from?
Right. And for me, it becomes, frustrating because,
I always see people as human beings, and right. I think that a lot of people, when it comes to activism, some people subconsciously take them for granted. They always think some shit pop off, it's gonna be somebody always there to take care of it, it's gonna be somebody always gonna do it thanklessly, they don't, you know, why don't you do it for free, you know, and shit like that. You go, well, you wouldn't want to show up at your goddamn job for free and do it for nothing. Like what you're saying statistically and logically makes no sense.
But also, then do it the other way. You know what I'm saying? If you don't like this, support someone that does it the other way.
Right.
There's so many choices at this point. We don't have to denigrate one to support another. You know, but we often end up in that boat over and over again. It's like the trap of being blackness. I love being black. Every day yes. I wake up, I love being black. But there's a cost to this shit. You know, and it's a very real, like, you can't not think about this. You can't not, if you're any level of, you know, paying attention. But anyway, the name of that article was "And So Jedediah Brown Gave All of Himself to the City He Loved." It's a great write-up. I don't know him personally. I don't know the author or anything like that. It's a very long read. But it talks, more importantly than just about him, talks about the cost of activism to black people.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of these activists have either killed themselves,
right,
died mysteriously. Couple Ferguson names in that.
Come on.
You know, cars on fire and shit. Or just had to walk away. You know, the toll that this shit takes on folks, man. It's not, and the thanklessness to it. The, you know, it's the day that you have to go take care of yourself because you don't know if you can take seeing all this pain and anguish anymore, or you can take, you know, all that. And then we go at the same time, well, fuck you. You didn't show up to that one. So fuck you. You didn't show up to, yes, 12 people got shot. You didn't show up. You showed up to 11 and not 12. Fuck you. I hate that dude. He's trash. I don't want that. I hate her. That organization is whack. You know, it's one of the things I think, it'll be interesting to see if the lesson was imparted on a younger generation of activists. But how the fuck, like, there needs to be some either understanding or hopefully some level of appreciation or something. I don't know what the right word is, but for the fact that it's people like a Al Sharpton, like a Jesse Jackson, like a why am I drawing a blank on the congressman from Atlanta, Georgia, what the fuck, John
Lewis,
yes, John, what the fuck am I, anyway, a John Lewis, you know, like Maxine Waters, like, there needs to be some level of either appreciation, picking their brain, something. How did you do this for this long?
Right.
Because these other people did this for 4 or 5 years and they killing themselves. They are literally, I'm not
about
this,
the is depression, not, like, it ain't yeah. no joke.
How did you do this for so long? Because you also saw times that were fucked up as well, if not worse. How did you do this for so long? You know, like, we, things that we admonished about them, I think people should be wondering how the fuck you, how did you, how were you able to stay vigilant?
Cause
that long.
There has to be some method to it for you to literally keep your sanity. I don't think people underestimate the mental toll, the physical toll, the spiritual toll, and the emotional toll that, being an activist and being out in the forefront and seeing a lot of death and seeing a lot of dying and seeing a lot of sadness, it has got to get to you at some point in time. And so it's one of those things where there has to be a balance. There has to be times for you to walk away. There has to be time for you to take a mental break. There has to be time for you to check offline. Like, there has to be, because the thing is, white supremacy is designed to beat you to the point that you give up or you die.
Well, also the losses.
Correct.
Like, we don't talk about, like, forget about just the death and the fact that you see a family through and support them all the way till they get that ultimate decision in court, and how 99% of the time nothing's gonna happen. Maybe they get some money in a settlement from the city years later, maybe, but they baby ain't coming back, they daddy ain't coming back, they sister, they mother, they never coming back. You know what I mean? And the police officers or the people that do these injustices, the school district, even if this person wins this lawsuit, that school district, those people still call their kids those names.
Correct.
Those deputies still overlook that egregious harm and threat done and called it freedom of speech. These things still happen to those 14-year-old girls. These things still happen. They still count. And how do you see that every day and come out on the other side a healthy human being?
Yeah, there has to be a method to it.
Yeah. You know, like, we talk about self-care, but we really do admonish people for having self-care.
Right. Right.
I remember when Charlamagne and the Breakfast Club had that episode where they had Lil Duval on, they made those transgender jokes, right? And I want to say it was like the weekend of, I think, L. Joy Williams' wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So she had invited certain people there. You know, there's like, and I just saw this via Twitter, but right, like Jamila Lemieux, Feminista Jones, or somebody else were there, right? People was going on their Twitter to be like, why the fuck y'all not saying nothing? So y'all just gonna let Charlamagne get away with this? Wait, some of y'all went on his show and y'all cool with this? I'm in another country at a wedding and it's the weekend. I might need some time to myself before checking this Twitter shit. I might be in a place where I can't have my phone on roaming because I'm gonna get charged for it.
Come on.
But I have to be on all the time. Keep in mind, many people are already talking about this. It wasn't like a lack of conversation, but that's how we use people up. We expect right. them to be machines. We expect them to be our 24/7 news channel. And if they're not, if they don't have a hot take on everything, if they're not ready to boycott everyone, then it's like, you're trash, canceled, you're the worst, you're complicit, you might as well be Charlamagne, you might as well be Lil Duval, it's that kind of thing where it's like, damn, we really throw motherfuckers away real quick. And at the same time, nobody gets canceled. So it's not like the motherfucker gonna not exist. You just gonna wait till the next time when you do need them, or when they are right, and be like, oh yeah, my dog, I love them. Do you? Do you?
Mm-mm. No, because receipts are forever. And it's one of those things to where, we were talking about the breaks. People act like you're not supposed to take breaks. And when you have people that are activism in an activist room that set boundaries and like, these are the things I will and will not deal with. People act like it's a problem for them setting boundaries.
Not even just activists, though. All of us.
Right.
Like, one of the reasons I'm kind of standoffish with people in general is because y'all not going to use me to fuck up. Some of this shit is for me. You know what I mean? It's like when people be like, oh, man, I love to hear this thing with you and your niece. Man, that's me and my niece. That has nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? Like, we have certain shit that is like, oh, Layla want to do a movie review, come on through, we talk. But sometimes it's me and my niece talking about slime. You know, sometimes it's just me and my brother talking about music. Sometimes it's just not for everyone else, and mm-hmm. that's fine too. Sometimes right. it's just a conversation on the sideline of basketball court, and that's where it's gonna stay. And you know what I mean? And that's the end of it. And I feel like we almost judge or make people feel like they're obligated to give us their everything all the time. But anyway, we got on a long tangent. 100, obviously, for that article. As you can see, it sparked a lot.
1,000.
Anyway, I'll end this segment on this quote. I'm not going to do another article because we've talked so long. Toni Morrison said, I saw this today. The function, the very serious function of racism is distraction. It keeps you from doing your work. It keeps you explaining over and over again your reason for being. Somebody says you have no language, so you spend 20 years proving that you do. Somebody says your head isn't shaped properly, so you have scientists working on the fact that it is. Someone says you have no art, so you dredge that up. Somebody says you have no kingdoms, so you dredge that up. None of that is necessary. There will always be one more thing.
Correct.
All right. Let's do something else. See what else we got. I'm gonna skip trash.
I got enough trash for today. My trash can full.
Yeah. I'll say this about the trash, because I don't feel like reading these articles to y'all, and it's really not worth it. But people have already started with the, like, Aziz Ansari is a victim in this, and y'all need to stop being so hard on that dude. Keep in mind, the woman who wrote that thing didn't say we need to cancel him, blacklist him. Nobody said that he was boycotted or he needs to pay money to Time's Up. Nobody said any of that. But the defense has basically been like, y'all said, let's kill Aziz Ansari. And that's not what happened. And it's become about the legal definition of sexual assault, which I find very interesting, because I would feel morally none of us should want a person to feel the way that woman felt when she left that house.
Right.
I would think that none of us would want that, you know. And if you didn't notice, then I would feel like most people should feel some way sorry about that and feel like I have a gross oversight, which can happen. I'm not even on the train of like he had to be this, that, or the other. I don't fucking know that dude, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really know his work like that either, but I don't know that dude. I don't know if he's the nice guy predator people think he is. I don't know if this is really just the one time and we'll never hear another woman come out with a story like this and this was just a fucked up night. I don't fucking know. I just know people are super fucking callous about all this shit. And the whole thing about he's the real victim. One woman wrote this, the humiliation of Aziz Ansari. Her name's Caitlin Flanagan. She's a trash writer. She got this in the Atlantic. 2 months ago, you know what she wrote for the Atlantic? That the Me Too movement is a revolution and it's not going away and we need to support it. And men need to be scared.
You don't mean it. Like, that white feminism kills me.
Let me tell you what that was. It happened to somebody you liked.
Right.
So it's different. Right? When it's somebody we like, most people morality only extends as far as do I like this person or not. That's the whole fucking equation for most people. You know, it's one of the reasons I back away from a lot of people, because I'm like, oh, this isn't about conviction. It's just you like this nigga and not that other one. Right. Let me tell y'all something. If we heard the same fucking story, don't switch anything. The same story. The only name that changed was Matt Damon instead of Aziz Ansari. How many motherfuckers will be like, I knew it. Mm-hmm. How many motherfuckers will be like, I told you so. This motherfucker. Fuck him. I ain't like what he said 2 years ago. It's a C's. It's like, well, we gotta hear it out. I don't know. I mean, do we really want to just say it all counts? So how can we count this in the Me Too movement? I'll tell you how. Look at the comments on the article.
Come on.
If you look at the comments on the article, you'll see why this is included. That's all. You know, the dude apologized twice. I don't know his heart or any of that shit. The dude apologized twice, and it's with most things we cover on the show. It's not the initial infraction. That has happened in the past. That is over. For however you want to like judge that or whatever, she has had no more interaction with this dude. He hasn't sought more interaction with her. She publicized it in the hopes that it wouldn't happen to some other woman, or if it was happening to other women, people would be made aware, which is something a guilt trip we always put on these women, because there's never a right time. If you say his name, why are you sullying his career? If you don't say his name, how am I supposed to believe it happened? Right? Why you want to fuck up this man's money? Well, okay, well, I won't say who did it, but this thing happened to me. I can't believe you. Who did it? You know, the whole thing is we want to dismiss these women at the end of the day, or survivors or whatever. Like, I just know in general, it's very telling the way people have been responding to this. And this reminds me of exactly how people started responding when the Weinstein shit first came out. I mean, you gave him a massage. I mean, why were you in his room? I mean, so you did a business meeting at a hotel? I mean, come on now. That was a date. You remember all that shit? But y'all think this different? Nobody's learned shit. And people are already ready for this movement to be over. Somebody on Headline News called this woman out and said the worst thing he should get is a case of blue balls. He's one of the good ones. She felt strongly enough to put her rep on the line to defend this dude that she probably doesn't even fucking know except for TV and shit. And if 5 more women come out, then what the fuck she gonna say? She gonna issue a retraction? She gonna apologize to Grace, this anonymous woman? No, she won't. She'll pretend it didn't happen. It'll be this dude's disgusting pig. That's just what people do, man. It's people have no fucking willpower for this shit to continue. That's all. Time's up. Got their hands cut out. Got their work cut out for them.
Yes, they do.
That's all. I'll just leave it at that. All right. Let's do something fun. Let's do Guess the Race. Let me get my Guess the Race music.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right. It's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right. It's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And all those people are racist, okay? So don't get mad, it's true. Cops don't turn the other cheek in a fanny flashing caper. Fort Pierce, Florida. A man accused of flashing his fanny at people was arrested, and it doesn't appear deputies had to work their butts off to do so.
Oh, shit, no.
The case of the reported derriere displaying dude happened December 20th. St. Lucie County Sheriff's deputy was sent to the area of Avenue Q and North 39th Street with a man, with reports of a man flashing his butt at people.
Ha, ha, ha! Got butt cheeks. Got that, what do you call it? Got the moon in the daytime.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, it had that crack squad on the case.
Ah!
All right. the slaying of buttocks obviously is called mooning, which is supposed to be disrespectful.
1932.
What the fuck?
That's when Sunrise Ford opened.
No.
That's when he showed his butt cheeks. What's happening here?
Right. The man was wearing a black shirt and dark jeans. They found a man matching that description, identified him as 44-year-old Alvin Wilson.
Oh.
A witness evidently helped the police get to the bottom of things. He said he was driving. He saw a man with his pants below his buttocks and reported that both cheeks were in plain view.
Ah, not one, but two.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like something Eugene would say. Both butt cheeks were coming in five by five. Anyway, a deputy reported dispatchers got two calls from the same person flashing a school bus. Oh, man.
Oh.
He was arrested for disturbing the peace. Guess the race.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let me get the chat room in here. What guesses do you have for his race? Let's see. Florida, white. White Bob from Martin. White Bob. My man. Oh, we only got two guesses. All these people in the chat.
It's slow. Oh,
Cracker Ass Crack, Woody Allen's cousin, white. Moonlight Black. Them buns weren't toasted, white. White. Everybody's going white on this one. All right. Pale Moonlight White. The correct answer is, and everybody that guessed white missed it. He was black.
Oh. Oh, so it was the black moon?
There was a black moon. One person got it right. One person. You get the golf clap.
Oh, it came up and went away.
Okay, let me, I'm gonna have to refresh, guys, because.
No problem.
Sometimes it does this. I'll be right back. But yeah, HC, good job, buddy.
I know, right?
How the hell did you get that?
Only white people boned up to show the crack of the asses.
What's his name? Alvin Wilson? Right. I mean, that's a pretty black name, though.
Alvin? Is white people named Alvin?
I guess. That Wilson, though? A lot of white Wilsons, Karen? What you think?
I don't know.
Right. Alvin Wilson, if you just told me the name and closed my eyes and said, imagine an Alvin Wilson, I feel like I would come up with a black man. I can't be 100% sure because obviously I'm biased since I know the answer.
Right.
But I don't know. Alvin Wilson felt pretty niggerish to me. Is it showing up yet?
Yes, it is. Ooh, look at that haircut.
Mm-hmm. He got that Punisher haircut. When you don't have an edge up that and you don't have that taper line, that is a 100%.
He cut his own hair.
You are not right in the head haircut. All right, let's do another one. A Londoner is barred from boarding two flights in 2 days after wearing all of his clothes to avoid the excess baggage fee.
Oh, he was like, I'm not paying $25.
He's not paying. He ain't had a five, Karen.
How did he get in the goddamn seat with all his clothes on?
He had 8 pairs of trousers and 10 shirts in an effort to dodge the excess baggage fee. Instead, he got barred from the plane.
How did he get through TSA? How did they scan them? I'm confused now. TSA was like, sir, we can't scan all those clothes.
Ryan Hawaii.
He might have had a Hawaiian shirt on, white.
whose real name is Ryan Carney Williams, was held at a Keflavik airport in Iceland after he attempted to board a British Airways plane wearing extra clothes in an apparent effort to lodge an excess baggage charge. To dodge it. He was trying to dodge it. He was denied entry to the plane and later arrested for causing the disruption, according to reports. Mr. Williams says he was then blamed for boarding an EasyJet flight. Banned from boarding an EasyJet flight the following day after the airline heard about his behavior. Damn, they was talking about him.
You know they was. They're like, oh, he showed up again?
Right. This is British Airways. If you see a motherfucker with 10
layers of clothes on. You see a motherfucker look like he Frosty the Snowman. Tell him he can't come on our plane.
His name's Ryan Hawaii. Real name Ryan Carney Williams. Don't let his ass on the plane.
I know, but like if he shows up, just hit the thing and say 5050. We'll know what you mean.
The artist and clothing designer from South London was refused entry to his original flight when he tried to board with an oversized bag.
So he came with a big bag.
Yeah, they was like, yeah, we'll just give him the, he was thinking to himself, they're gonna try to give me a baggage. They won't let me put my bag in the overhead.
Right.
I'm gonna open my bag up, put my clothes on, and just wear all the clothes at the same time and try to sneak in.
Wouldn't you just smell funky? I mean, all your clothes would be ruined.
He had paid a handbag only fare that meant he could only bring a small bag on the plane.
Okay.
In a brazen bid to avoid paying the excess fee, he donned his extra clothes in an attempt to board the flight. He was still refused entry and a dispute escalated and he confronted security staff.
He really didn't want to put 5 on it.
He posted 2 videos to Twitter asking employees why he was not allowed to board.
Because you got 50 layers of clothes on, sir. And it's 75 degrees outside.
I know that's looking at him like Eddie Murphy in the Clumps. Like, is this motherfucker serious?
Right? You are sweating like a pig, sir. No.
You can barely walk, sir. What are you doing? Right.
Can you explain why I can't get on the flight?
See, he's talking directly to TSA.
Why can't I fly? Why can't I fly?
And they see him recording.
Don't touch me. Why am I not allowed to fly?
Do we have to call the police?
Yeah, if needs be, yeah. I haven't done anything wrong.
You cannot.
That's him recording himself being stupid. Police were called to intervene. The airline arranged an alternative flight to London for the customer.
They arrested him in all 14 pairs of his pants.
It's sad because he was on Twitter. He was on Twitter talking that shit. And EasyJet had to DM him and be like, "Hey, our bad." Like, cause you know, bad publicity. They don't care. Although we're not in a position to comment on the actions that British Airways took, this is from EasyJet. The captain for your EasyJet flight was made aware of what happened the previous day. Because of this, captain took the decision to offload you from the flight. Because of this, I'm afraid we can't offer you a refund for your booking under our terms and conditions. So he couldn't even get his money back.
Right. You gonna argue with us because you don't want to put 5 on it, dog.
After questioning, he was sent back to the airport, booked a second flight with EasyJet the next day. But after a 2-hour delay at the gate, he said he was once again prevented from boarding after the pilot heard about his previous behavior. He wrote on Twitter, and again, refused from 2 flights in 2 days for no valid reason. Okay.
now for the fact that if our drug dog tried to bite you, he probably wouldn't bite your ass because you got some of the clothes on.
How did he have the money for another flight but not the baggage fee?
Right.
I'm tripping.
You got enough for another ticket, but you couldn't put 5 on it to put it at the bottom of the plane.
What were the logistics on this, man?
How did you get in the clothes? You going to the bathroom and tied up for 20 minutes putting on all these clothes? Like, I don't understand this.
I hope you had to pee on the flight. What?
Right, that's all right. You might as well just piss in the clothes in because you never get them off on time.
And nobody will ever see it.
Right.
At the top layer.
Nope.
It's like a diaper. Our hand baggage only fares from Iceland are as low as 47 pounds each way and are designed for customers who are traveling without any hold baggage. We do understand our customers' plans can change so they can choose to pay a fee at the airport if they need an extra bag. We explained a policy to our customer and arranged an alternate flight to London. The spokesman from EasyJet said the captain and the ground crew were concerned about reports from the previous day, so they refunded the travel and he traveled with another airline. Guess the race of Ryan Hawaii, aka Ryan, fuck was his full name? Ryan Carney Williams.
Hawaii 50 white.
Okay, let me check the chat room. So white that white people say, damn, that's some white shit. doesn't have McDonald's money or baggage fees black.
Aww.
They dislike Joey on Friends. Wore all his clothes but routinely takes his shoes off mid-flight white. Let me speak to a manager white. Does it look like I was left off of Bad and Bougie black? Ain't got the five black. Man's hot, not hot white. Meghan Markle black. Casper white. Whiter than Trump's cabinet. Don't touch me, bro. White. So white. Martin, I ain't playing the five black. Broke ass black dude. Cheap ass white. Not Ryan Atlanta. So white. Okay. All the layers of H&M white. Ryan who whitey.
Oh, God. Oh, that was good.
Anyway. The correct answer is, and most of you guys went with white on this one, I believe, right?
Yes.
And some of y'all went with black, though, to your credit. Anyway, the correct answer is, he was black.
What? Nigga! What's that white ass name?
And some of you did get it right, though.
What?
Black as fuck. All right, let's go to the bonus round.
This game is rigged.
Let's go to the bonus round.
No.
Stop being so racist.
My racism is beating me today.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 0 for 2.
I know.
But
niggas out here doing white shit today. What's happening?
Can she make it up in the bonus round? Let's see. I'd also like to take a moment to let you guys know, J.L. Covan has put out his 5-part The Punisher at Home series.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It's so fucking good. You should check it out. Oh, and we're about to run out of time, so I'm gonna go to the next section now, and we'll be right back. But guys, it's so fucking good. He's doing John Bernthal as the Punisher, it's 5 parts. The 5th part is him doing John Bernthal acting as the Punisher school.
This time I'm like, JL, don't quit, JL.
Right. I laughed so hard in my house by myself. Like, I was just sitting in the house cracking up when Karen walked in, cause I was just watching each part. And like, the first one is the Punisher debates Michael Jordan versus LeBron James.
Oh,
and each one of them, I'm not gonna spoil all the jokes and stuff, but each one of them, he finds a way to bring up that his family is dead. So each one of them, each one of them, he'll end up being like, you know, this thing happened because my family is dead and I don't have my wife. I'll see if I can play one before we get out of here, but let me do this last one. Police, woman left $100,000 worth of heroin outside of a middle school.
What?
Bensalem, Pennsylvania. On Wednesday, December 20, 2017, at approximately 9:28 a.m., a suspicious backpack was found by the school district employees in the rear parking lot of Cecilia Snyder Middle School. District personnel notified Bensalem police, who discovered the backpack contained 4 bricks of heroin. The heroin had already been packaged for sale. The bag contained approximately 10,000 dosages units of heroin, and the street value is estimated to be $100,000.
Woo!
Since then, they've been conducting an investigation, identified the source of the heroin through subsequent investigation and a review of video surveillance. They learned that a tan Toyota Corolla with New Jersey registration was in the area where the school bag was recovered. Further investigation led investigators to conduct a traffic stop on the target vehicle on January 10th, 2018 at 8:50 p.m. How is this motherfucker still alive a month later if they lost $100,000 worth of heroin? I feel like
somebody
would have
hunted him down. Would have been like, hey.
Yeah, no. Ooh, that's a lot of heroin. The traffic stop combined with previous investigative efforts directly led to the identity and arrest of 26-year-old Natasha Willis from Bensalem. Willis admitted to possessing and accidentally placing the bag outside of her vehicle behind the school December 20th, 2017. Natasha Willis was charged with possession with the intent to deliver narcotics and related offenses. She was arrested. Yeah, she going to jail for a long time.
Yes, she is.
Her bail was set at $750,000.
Good God.
And Willis was turned over to the PA constables and transported to Bucks County Correctional Facility. Police say the heroin was not intended for the school, and at no time were students placed in danger due to the quick action of school district personnel and the police. Guess the race of Natasha Willis.
Natasha, I think Natasha was black.
All right, check the chat room. EVE says honky on heroin. Where's the money, scholar? White for real. Did you say constable? Black. Upgraded from weeds, white. Salem witch, white. I mean, Ben Salem kind of close to Chester and it's black over there. I'm guessing she dropped it off in her bonnet, black.
Oh,
heroin makes me say white, but in the opposite, then this opposite day, I'm gonna say black plus Natasha though. Way too many reruns of The Wire, black Peckerwood. The correct answer is black. A lot of y'all did say white though. Yep. She
yeah,
was.
Her name and then that bail. I was like, God damn, that's a high bail.
Man, she gonna go to jail forever.
For real. Forever, ever? Forever, ever?
Mm-hmm. And then let me find JL's Punisher video.
It is hilarious, the parts that I seen, which I gotta go back and watch the rest.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, y'all go like JL's YouTube page and subscribe. It is worth the follow. If you never have followed his YouTube page, go back and watch his old stuff. It is hilarious.
Yeah, he also has been putting some of his stand-up stuff up there too, because he's getting ready to do his album at some point. All right, so I'll play the first one, the MJ versus LeBron, but like I said, there's five parts and you guys can go check them all out. And it's well worth it. Each part is probably like 3 to 4 minutes long. so, you know, they're short watches. But you know, he's brilliant. Is it playing though?
Yes, playing.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that I'm a big hoops fan. I'm a baller. Okay. You know, I need to exercise. I stay in such good shape when I'm murdering people. Okay. Wreaking havoc across the city. I gotta stay in shape, so I'm a baller. I like playing. You know, I got a pretty good J. But yeah, my friend asked me, and I do have friends. Okay. Friend asked me the other day, he's like, who do you think is better? You know, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? And I said, Michael Jordan. Is that even a question? Okay. Sure, Michael Jordan's got 6 rings, okay? And that's, you know that's good. I had a ring. It was a wedding ring to my family. Was murdered, okay? And yeah, and you're asking me if I think that I should pick Michael Jordan, who was so skinny he couldn't protect his own family. Meanwhile, LeBron James built like a brick shit house. Okay, if I'm going to war with somebody, do I want the skinny old Michael Jordan who wears mom jeans? Huh? You think that's what I want, or do I want a brick shit house from Ohio, 6'8", 280? That's what I want. Yeah, that's that. So I'm going, you know, LeBron may have 3 rings, but he will beat the ass off of anybody else, including Michael Jordan, okay? You know, I can't, you know, you give me a guy with mom jeans and 6 rings, that sounds like a lot of jewelry and a lot of mom jeans, okay? Yeah? So that's not what I'm going for, okay? I want LeBron James in my corner. He's the GOAT, okay? That's end discussion, okay? And I swear to God, come at me, yeah, if you come at me with Michael Jordan talk, I'll break your neck.
What the hell is wrong with JL? Rings and mom jeans.
And he got better at depression too, because when John Bernthal does the Punisher, he had that yeah in there.
Yes, once.
He was getting that yeah this time, man. Oh, oh God. Oh, hold on, I do one more, guys. I'm sorry, these are so good.
Let's
to
go
me.
To part two.
I do one more. This one's about fiber.
Okay.
The Punisher is constipated. And he needs some help. He needs some help. Oh wait, there's a cafe press ad, hold on. But he needs some help to obviously use the bathroom, so his maid bought him some fiber to hook up his diet. Okay, that's the setup. Also, visually, you have to see it, guys, because his face looked like John Bernthal, man. He got all the angles. He went and got the haircut, guys. Oh my God.
Raisins are dead grapes.
Even his face is...
Housekeeper. Okay. I can't run around these streets, you know, take care of the city without a housekeeper to keep my place neat. So she found out I was constipated. Okay, apparently that's something people need to know nowadays. So she decided to get me stuff to help me get regular. Like, I'm not a regular guy. Like what we had, you know, she got me, you know, fiber bread. Okay, that's, you know, I guess that's okay. But then, you know, she made the mistake of getting me raisin bread. You know, when I was a kid, I worked at a vineyard. My favorite snack as a kid was grapes. And I loved grapes, and then I had to see all those grapes get murdered to make wine. And now, she's buying me raisin bread. You know, yeah, raisin bread? Yeah, that's what you think I need? I need raisin bran? You know what raisins are? Okay? The dead grapes! Dead grapes. I'm not...
grapes.
I'm not going to eat dead grapes. Okay, but it says there's a lot of fiber, so I'm going to give it a try. You hear me? Yeah.
He's taking his shit.
That grunt.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's too good. Anyway. Y'all should check it out if you have a chance.
Yes.
Subscribe to his YouTube channel.
Please do, y'all.
Oh my God. That cracked me up so much, man. So I hope you guys, I'll try to tag one in the show notes, but, on our website, so you can play it directly from the website if you guys want to. But he has the Punisher gets a dog. Then he has the Punisher, picks the Oscar winners. And then John Bernthal acting class. It's so perfect. It's so good. All right, we gotta get out of here. But we gotta do Sword Ratchetness. Okay, guys? I can never let the Punisher doesn't let criminals go. And I don't let, people that, do sword crime go.
No, we don't.
An Uber driver, 26, denies attacking police officers with a 4-foot samurai sword after shouting Allahu Akbar outside of Buckingham Palace.
Oh shit.
Terror suspect Mohusanath Choudhury, 26, is accused of driving a blue Toyota Prius at a marked police van on Constitution Hill on the evening of August 25th last year. It's alleged he then reached for a 4-foot-long samurai sword he had stored in the well of the car, but was sprayed with CS gas and arrested as he shouted Allahu Akbar. Two officers were taken by ambulance to the hospital with minor cuts and discharged a short time later. A third injured officer did not require hospital treatment. As part of the attack, Cherry Hurdy wrote a suicide note. It has been claimed. So I'm gonna open the shut case if this shit is all true. Today he appeared in the Old Bailey via video link and pleaded not guilty to one count of engaging in conduct in preparation of terrorist acts. Contrary to Section 5 of the Terrorism Act of 2006. due to communication breakdown between the high court and high security Belmarsh prison, the court was not able to hear the defendant, but he was able to hear the proceedings. Prison staff wrote out a number of signs with pieces of paper that with the words yes, no, guilty, and not guilty. He was wearing a prison issue jumper and used pieces of paper to confirm his name, enter a plea of not guilty to the single count. The charge alleges that he had obtained a samurai sword, purchased a knife sharpener, prepared a suicide note, and drove to the area of London adjacent to Buckingham Palace. Mrs. Justin Seema Groob said this case will be fixed for trial to commence June 18th this year with an estimate of 7 days. So there you guys go. Sword even in terrorism,
right?
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.